So the order of worship says that Arnis Poppy and Rick Hughes will be speaking today. That's really not true. Rick is going to be speaking today. I'm going to introduce him in about a minute, I hope, because I know a few of you don't know Rick. He grew up in the church, as they say. He placed membership here around 20 years ago or so with his family, Lenore, Helena, and Lily. He was a venture capitalist. He made and lost millions and lived that kind of lifestyle. And 11 years ago or so, he became convicted of his sinfulness, and he gave his life completely to Jesus. And he decided he needed to give up everything to pursue an authentic relationship with Jesus. And so he quit his job, he sold his house, he reduced his living style, and started taking college Bible classes and teaching and preaching, both here and in other area congregations. He led a discipling group for men here on Wednesday nights that made a huge difference in a lot of lives. His daughter Helena was the first person I baptized in this baptistry. I guess we had just opened. Okay, and Lenore and Helena began volunteering in the children's ministry. Helena later worked in the church office during COVID, and she works in our preschool program now. Rick has become a mentor to many of us personally, and as well as a spiritual model that we can follow. And a couple of years ago, he decided to, with a friend, plant a church down in the PRP area, and they call it The Vine. And a lot of us were encouraged by that. Some helped support the start of that. And they've developed and grown. And so I'm going to turn it over to him, and he can pick up the story from there.
Good morning. It's good to be here. It's been a while. Yeah. It feels like yesterday, but it's been 3 years, right? Man, time flies. The last time that I was here, that I stood on this platform, we have a picture of that. Let's put that up. It's a screenshot, and Arnis led the church in prayer for the work that was about to begin in PRP. And Arnis prayed the most beautiful prayer. I remember it, right? Prayed for God's blessing, God's hand, God's provision, His presence, His leading, as we were about to step into something we had no idea what we were getting into. It has been beautiful. People ask me, what's it like? And I say, it's a mess. But it's a beautiful mess. So I'm going to share with you some of what God has done. And before I do that, I forgot to hit my timer. So I'm going to start, because sometimes I can, you know. And so if you hear something go off, an alarm, that's my timer that says, okay, it's time to wind it down. Before we jump into what has happened over the last 3 years, I want to share or just kind of bring back to mind some of the things from that initial presentation. You see behind us a slide. I went back and I found three slides that set the stage for the work in PRP. The first, talking about the community. We are the red dot up there. My house is the blue dot, but I live very near here. So we're about 35 minutes away from Westport Road. The lightly shaded gray area, that's PRP, Pleasure Ridge Park. Population 32,000, 10,000 households, 7,000 families, per capita income around 27,000. Let's go to the next slide. PRP is a high crime area. Not the highest. There are areas of the city with much higher crime rates than ours. But it's an area that has been in decline for the last several decades, drugs and alcohol, as the drug epidemic developed and expanded and built momentum, and all of the outworkings of that, right? The darkness, the evil, the sin, the manifestations. We're now beginning to see multi-generational poverty in our area. In the 6 months prior to planting the church, we had 8 shootings, 234 burglaries, we had 309 incidents of vandalism, 1,437 reported thefts just in that little area. And we saw, folks that had lived in that area saw the decline, and we saw a connection between what was happening, the national trend of churches emptying, a lack of engagement, and the rise in crime and those things. And so we saw a problem, and our response, if you would take us forward, was simply to be the church. There are a lot of ministries involved in that area of town. Our sense of mission, what we felt compelled to do there, was not build a big church, not build a ministry, and there's nothing wrong with either of those things, they're wonderful things, but was simply to be the church, right? We asked ourselves the question, what would it look like, what would a modern manifestation of the New Testament church in Pleasure Ridge Park, what would that look like? And we weren't quite sure, but we wanted to be that, right? Just to be the church, the body of Christ in that area, the light, the love of Christ in an area that was in desperate need of Jesus, living out the greatest commandments to love God, right? With all of our being, all of our mind, soul, heart, strength, everything, and to love others. What does that look like? And we felt that that's what the community needs, to seek, reach, serve the loss, meeting the needs of the community, and ultimately meeting a person's greatest need, which is Jesus, to know Jesus, right? Not just to know about Jesus, but to know Jesus. We sensed a call, a desire to join Jesus on mission in Pleasure Ridge Park. So Arnas prayed his blessing, the church prayed, over this work. And I want to share with you a 3-minute video that sums it up. I don't quite have the words to describe it, so I'm just going to show you this video of what God has done there, and then we'll step back and fill in some of the blanks. I worship you. watched that video must be 20 times. I get choked up every time I watch it. Every face, every kid, every story, every person has a story, right? And they're beautiful, 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 beautiful stories. And most of them involve tragedy, because we are all broken people born into a broken world, and right? But God is so good. You know, we can't do that. We can't. Only God. I believe that one of the most amazing things that God does, and God does all kinds of amazing things, right? I mean, He created the world. We exist because He chose to create. Part of the Red Sea, Jesus walked on water, right? But changing a heart, right? Redeeming a life, restoring the broken relationship, and the fruit that brings, the real, practical, on the ground, right? The addict, 10 years, coming to know the Lord and experiencing a healing and a power and a joy that was beyond anything that a drug could ever bring. We can't do that. God, only God. And God has been moving beautifully in answer to prayer. I love it when God says yes. I want to share with you a little bit about the history and get into some of the details. And in many, many ways, the church at Mower Lane is very much like the church at Westport Road. There are many ways that we're similar. There are many ways that we're different. And I just want to walk you through, share with you kind of what we do there and what the Lord has been doing in our midst as we have sought to follow Him. We didn't start with that building. You saw that first slide. We're going into the building with the bars, the purple wall, the drum set. We acquired the church from the building from a Pentecostal charismatic congregation that had dwindled down to just a few members. And that was the first day that we went into the building. But we actually started in a basement in PRP, if you could put that up. So on the left, that's Scotty Smith's basement. And Scotty is a retired captain of the Louisville Fire Department. He serves as the chaplain of the PRP Fire Department. Scotty grew up Catholic, superficially religious, and really about the same time as I began to seek God, and he began to do what he does as we seek him. Scotty was going through something similar. He retired and got into ministry, and so we crossed paths many years ago in Lake Dreamland, which is another community a little bit north of PRP. We began to meet every week and just encourage each other, discipleship, and as I got to know him better and see his heart for the church, his heart for the community. He had grown up there. He had seen everything that we talked about earlier happening, the decline. We began to pray. We began to sense a need for a church in that community. And so first it was two of us, and then there were five, and then we began to gather in his basement weekly to pray over the possibility to seek God's will. Lord, do you want a church here? What does it look like? And so there were 11, 12 of us. A couple of things I love about this picture, and as we move through, I want to point out some of the connecting points to Westport Road. If you look in the center of that shot, the guy in the black in the back with the big hair and the beard, anybody recognize him? That's David McDonnelly. David McDonnelly, I think that was the only time he gathered with us for prayer. He happened to be there the one day that Holly got up, the empty chair, and she said, I want to take a picture of this, and so she did. And David is now, anytime we tell the story of the church starting in Scotty's basement, David is front and center. Also, and you wouldn't know it unless you sit behind them, but the blonde and the brunette in the left-hand corner there at the bottom, yeah, that's Mike and Dara Willis. They joined us for many of those gatherings early on. We would gather and pray. In the basement, we began to worship over time. We would always have a meal upstairs at Scotty's house. Then God moved in such a way we were able to acquire the building. We got bank, that we could afford a wonderful rate to be able to acquire it and to fix it up. And so let's go forward. That's Scotty on the left. First time we celebrated communion in the building, and the cross is in the back corner because the floor had dropped about 6 inches and we needed to keep the kids out of that area so they wouldn't fall through. We began celebrating, receiving, participating in the Lord's Supper every other week, in part because we had people from different faith traditions coming together. We began to teach on the meaning, the significance of communion, and after several weeks, it was just a natural progression that we began to partake every Sunday, and it's one of the richest things that we do when we gather together. You'll see that we occupied the building right away. We worked on it as we were worshiping and meeting, gathering in the building. It was actually Ken Hall who convinced us to do that. My plan was to restore the building. We would continue to meet in the basement. Ken says, no, jump in. And so we did. And so you'll see that as we move through. The three kids, that's the first Sunday. That's the beginning of our children's ministry. There are now over 30 children that are engaged and involved. That's my youngest daughter, Lily, in the center there, along with Logan, Jaylee, the young lady with the beads. That was the nicest room in the whole building. That was the preacher's office. And we turned it into a kitchen. Take us forward. We eat every Sunday. It's kind of a potluck. The church provides the main meal. People bring sides and desserts, and that is one of the richest parts of our gathering. For us, church begins around 10 o'clock. We begin to gather. We start 11-ish, 11:15. We always eat afterwards. We have picnic tables and benches and a tent out back. And it's in those times, not everyone stays, but most people stay, that discipleship and fellowship and relationship. And it's in those moments that I think that we most closely resemble the church that we see in Scripture. That has been a blessing. We do that every Sunday. We worship. Take us forward. Singing is one of the ways that we worship, and this is what it looks like. We don't have a Doug, and we do have some wonderful singers, people with talent, gifted singers in our church, but I'm not one of them, and most of us are not, right? We're horrible singers. We play recorded music through the speakers. We put the words up on the screen, and we worship. We worship. One of my favorite people, you saw her in the video, you'll see her as we flip through some of these photos, is Rose. Rose has Down syndrome, and she has a beautiful, pure heart, and she loves Jesus, and she loves people, and she loves to worship, and Rose worships. And she's one of the good singers. She worships, but she worships loudly. So we calibrate the music right just below Rose. We need to be able to hear Rose, but we don't need to be overpowered by Rose. And so often, not from up front, but from her seat, she will lead the church in worship. If you look closely in that picture in the back, you will see Jan Lyra in the red shirt. And that's Paulette next to her behind Scotty and Carla. We spend time in the Word. We have a high, high view of Scripture, if you'll take us forward. And we don't have an Arnis, we don't have a Jeff, but we have the Word. And so we, every time we gather, we spend time in the Word together. We started in 1 John. We went through the book of James after that, verse by verse. Romans. One verse at a time, one verse. Listening. Okay, God, what are you saying to us? How does this apply to us? What do we do with this? And then we began the Gospel of John. And we were in the Gospel of John for a year and a half. Right, think about that for a minute. A year and a half, right? We work our way through the Gospel of John. And one of the things that I wanted to do was to give you guys a sense for what happens. And so I'll show you. This is what we do on Sundays. We read the text. And Sunday mornings, in the beginning, it was more like a class format. There was interaction. We would wrestle with the text together. And then as more people came, and that became cumbersome, so Sunday mornings is more of a teaching. And on Wednesdays, we come back and we revisit the same text. And we work through the text together. And I love this text because it was foundational for the church at Mauer Lane. The first time we gathered to pray over the building, we found there's actually a grapevine there. And so the first teaching was kind of spontaneous from John 15:5 on the property. Jesus says, "I am the vine. You are the branches. If you remain in me and I in you, you will bear much fruit. Apart from me, you can do nothing. If you do not remain in me, you're like a branch that is thrown away and withers. Such branches are picked up, they're thrown into the fire, they're burned. But if you remain in me, and my words remain in you, ask whatever you wish, and it will be done for you. This is to my Father's glory, that you bear much fruit, showing yourselves to be my disciples." I love that. Jesus could have picked any word picture, anything you wanted. He could have said, I am the flower, you are the bee. Right? I'm the blade of grass, you're the grasshopper. There's all kinds of, right? Everything he did, everything he said is intentional. And so we'll take a text like this. I am the vine, Jesus said. You're the branch, all right? So this picture of what does your relationship, what's my relationship need to look like with the Lord? According to him, it looks like a branch connected to a vine. Right? And a branch doesn't connect to a vine on Sunday morning and then disconnect and go about its business. And a branch doesn't connect just on Sunday morning and Wednesday. A branch doesn't just connect for 15, 20 minutes in the morning for a devotional. A branch is connected to the vine all the time. It is from the vine that the branch receives its source of life. And only from, if the branch becomes, you see that? That's what Jesus is saying. He's showing us, he's telling them and telling us, this is what it looks like all the time. Me, he says. I'm the vine. You're the branch. And if you remain in me, just like the branch, if you remain, you will bear fruit. Apart from me, nothing. Now, I love what Jesus says and what he doesn't say in this passage. Notice that nowhere in this passage does Jesus tell them, and he doesn't tell us, to go and bear fruit. He says, remain in me. Right? And there's a principle in that. If the branch remains in the vine, the branch will bear fruit. The branch can't help but bear fruit. Apart from the vine, the branch can do all kinds of things, even some good things, right? But it won't produce fruit. And he uses some pretty strong language to indicate that really it's worthless apart from the life provided by the vine. He goes on, and there's much more in this text. I love how he connects abiding or remaining. I say about King James. I grew up with the King James. Abide, it says. Abide. But with prayer and with answered prayer, as our hearts align with the heart and will of God, as our will aligns with His will, as He changes, as He does this work that He says He will do in our hearts, right? We begin to pray differently. We begin to live differently, right? It's a beautiful, mysterious, wonderful thing that happens. I think Jesus is touching on this. We become trustworthy with asking, right? I love that. So we'll take a text like this. We'll speak on it on Sunday morning, wrestle on Wednesday night. Let's go forward. As we began to live this out and walk this out, many surprising things happened. One is the Lord began to send us children. We had a lot of single moms. We have some wonderful, awesome single moms in our little church, and single moms bring children. And children tend to attract other children. And so we began to be inundated with children in our little church. Every shape and shade and size. Let's go forward. He sent children. He sent more children on top of that. And we would bring the children up. And we do very similar to what you guys did this morning. Is we're all together for worship and communion. And the children have their own programs. We began to build classrooms in the church so that we could separate and better teach. Minister to the children. We began developing a children's ministry with events geared for the children. Let's go forward. This is the church. I think this is the only picture, the only time we ever got everyone together and to stand still long enough to actually take a picture. This was for a church in the Philippines that we support in different ways. And they sent us a video. We sent them a picture. At this point, I think there were 55 or so of us there. And we're a mess. Not all, but many of our adult members are in recovery. They have come through long-term drug and alcohol addiction. Every face is a story. I'm not going to go into their stories. Maybe someday some of them will come and share their testimonies. But suffice to say, the fact that many of these people are standing in and of itself is a work of God. Let's go forward. This picture was about a year later. At this point, there are about 70 of us. 70 members of the church. There were 90 in our little building that day. That was Jaylee's baptism. You notice from the video, we don't have a baptistry. We have a hot tub. And it's an inflatable hot tub. We move it around, and we gather around when there's a baptism. Notice a couple things. The diversity of age, ethnicity, everything. That's Rose in the academy shirt there. Let's go forward. These guys are guarding the kitchen. I mentioned that we eat every Sunday. With all these kids, right, during the last song, ladies, get up, prepare the food, they began rushing the kitchen, so we had to post guards. And that's Riley, Anthony, and Nathan. The picture on the right, lady with the towel, that's Barb, the day that she was baptized. Barb's lived in the area her whole life. Again, grew up Catholic. She knew about Jesus. She had never known Jesus, right? She came to know who He is and of His great love through the church at Mauer Lane. She came to experience the love of God. And she chose to be baptized earlier this year. Barb has a heart condition. And she didn't know it at the time when she joined the church. But God knew that it was only a matter of time. And so now her heart condition began to deteriorate. And she's on the list for a heart transplant at this point. And she shared that with the church yesterday. And she shared her testimony. She says, I'm good. I'm good. She said, if it wasn't for Jesus, if it wasn't for the right, I would be in the fetal position right now. But I know, I've come to know that God is trustworthy. He's trustworthy in all things and everything. In fact, the lady to the right, I'm going to call her out real quick because she reminds me of Gwen. She reminds me of Paulette. She reminds me of Jan. Her name is Cha-Cha. That's not her real name. Her real name is Charlene. But not unlike those ladies, I have found that sometimes it's easier to do what Cha-Cha asks than it is to argue with her. So we call her Cha-Cha. Cha-Cha, again, grew up, I'm not sure what faith tradition, but religious most of her life. Right? Later in life, she fell in love with Jesus and began to read Scripture with fresh eyes, and it changed everything for her. And Cha-Cha is one of those people through whom the love of God flows. And it's beautiful. I want to quickly introduce you to some brothers and sisters. Let's go forward. That's Braden. Braden's 18 years old, came to us about a year ago with an abstract idea. He was seeking God, invited by a friend to church, and amazing to see what God has done. I'm going to speed up because my alarm's about to go off. Go back. I want to hit these names real quick. That's Lily, my youngest daughter. She came to me when she was 3-4 years old. She wanted to be baptized. I told her she could not be baptized until she learned how to pronounce the word properly, right? She'll be 12 this year. My daughter is a sister, right? I love that, right? She is developing her own faith. Sydney was baptized in a creek in Indiana. That's Barb's baptism. 50-some-odd-year-old woman dunked in a baptistry in a tent behind a little church in PRP, right? That's surrender, right? That's beautiful. Go forward. That's Steve in the upper left-hand corner. I love that picture because Steve was sharing his testimony with the church. We were all gathered around. I love how the light's shining. It's like this, the Saul moment, right? As he's sharing his encounter and his faith and his walk. Below Steve is Cherry. She was baptized by Kevin. But you may have noticed, it looks like I'm in every photo. It's not me, right? There's several bald men in their 50s involved. It's not a requirement for leadership at the Vine, but it helps. We tend to gravitate in that direction. I'm holding Isabella in that picture because we set up the baptism. If we know there's going to be a baptism, we set it up the night before. And that was on Easter Sunday. And we run an extension cord for the heater, and something happened, and the heater didn't work, and the water was freezing. The water was freezing that morning. And we have a wonderful lady who had hurt her knee, and she was on a walker, and so it took forever for the church to come outside and gather around the baptistry. So I ended up picking Isabella. Lydia in the bottom right-hand side. Let's go forward. That's Jaylee. Jaylee's our resident theologian and prayer warrior in the upper left. Dustin, Xander, Riley at the bottom. Riley was the first baptism at the church. They're out of order. Next is Corey. This is last Sunday, a week ago today. And Corey, she's been with us about a year. She too came in with an abstract idea of God. And having lived a life really in opposition to the will and heart of God and all that goes with that, she came to know Jesus. She responded to the gospel. She was baptized last Sunday. Let's go forward again. I want to play a 2-second clip. Can we go back to that image and just let it hang there for a second? The kid up front going, yeah, yeah, yeah. That's Corey's son. They've been through a lot. Corey's son James, his sister Anna sitting up front. They have been through a lot with their mother. They've watched their mother go through a lot. They're seeing now their mother changing. There's something very, very different happening. And I have never in my life seen someone so excited for somebody else's baptism than James, right? And so I'm sitting there, and at first I hear this, I was like, what's going on? I see it's James. He's like this. And so, right? I mean, you have to join in with that. Yeah, that's it. Yes. I know. I love that. So as you can see, a lot of people there. We had 78 people in the church at Mauer Lane on Sunday, which is awesome. The problem is we only have 75 chairs. And so it's getting really tight in there. Our solution, we're going to build a barn. Basically, we looked at all the different construction methods, and we found all we really need is just a big building in which to meet. And we're going to turn our existing building into classrooms. Bring that forward, if you would. We'll close on this. So that's a diagram. The dotted line area, that would be the barn, essentially. It will cost about $120,000. One of the things that's amazing about this church, and I know you can't see them, if you're interested, there'll be some info that we'll put out there with a QR code. You can go to the website. You can look at all this stuff. But the finances, that's amazing. From the very beginning, we never passed a plate, but the members of this little church have contributed more than the cost to operate the church from the very first week forward, right? Without fail. Without fail. And not only that, but in excess, so much so that the church reduced its debt down to under $100,000, cut it almost in half in the first 3 years. Right? People giving, like the Church of Philippi, the Macedonian churches out of there, giving, not under compulsion. We never preached a topical sermon, just as we encounter in the text. The church is financially healthy. It has about $15,000 in its operating account. Has over $12,000 now committed to the cost of building this building. Let's go forward. God is so good. God is so, so very good. I hope that you have been encouraged in some way by what I've shared with you guys today. In the midst of all of the darkness and brokenness that we see around us, which is exactly what we should expect to see, God, as you see in this place, but also in other places, right? God moving wonderfully, beautifully, powerfully, as only He can. Let's pray. Father, we love You. We praise You and we thank You for all that You're doing in Your world. I thank You, Lord, for the church at Westport Road. I thank You, God, for how You have blessed and moved and worked so beautifully within Your body in this place. Lord, I thank You for the church at Mauer Lane and all that You're doing there. And I pray, Lord, for each of us individually and collectively as Your children, as Your church, that You would have Your way in our hearts, that You would shape us and mold us into the image of Your Son, Lord, that You would bring us all to a place of rest and trust and surrender, that we would abide, that we would remain so closely connected to You, that we would bear fruit in every aspect of our lives. We love You. We pray in Jesus' name.